Welcome to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and this is episode number 46 on October 17th, 2019. On today's episode, Mary Carmen Gonzalez-Abrams joins me to talk about how she's keeping one foot in the cake world after having to close her shop, and how we've both seen this industry change over the years. So whether you still have your own cake shop going and are busy getting client orders out the door, or if you're working the competition circuit and busily prepping your Cake International entry, or if you're taking a break from cake yourself, let's get this show started to sympathize and keep you going forward on your sugar arts journey. Joining me now is my friend, who is pretty awesome and the best. Because I said I was going to put that. Pretty awesome and the best, Mary Carmen Gonzalez-Abrams of MCG Cake Design in San Antonio, Texas.
Yay!
You are pretty awesome and the best.
Yes. How are you?
I am alive but tired. How are you?
alive and tired as well. Working as always, and pretty happy.
That's good. So, because yes, we were just in our preamble where we decided that I was going. Well, you didn't actually decide I was going to say that. I always ask people, what do you want in your intro, and I just took literally what you said.
Exactly.
So,
the most amazing and beautiful princess in the whole wide world.
Yes, I'm down with that. But yeah, we were talking about your new job, which is not cake related.
It is not, actually. Nothing to do with cakes, but as stressful as a cake.
Why is it as stressful as a cake? Is it still just clients?
Yeah, clients, yes. And they can call you at any time from anywhere in the world. And you have to solve the issues because it's coming back them. The travel agents, we're back. We take care of our customers from the day that they book with us or the day that they do an inquiry or they ask us or anything until the day we quit. So, yeah, but it's interesting because you get to know a lot of people but I mean, even though it's really different, the thing that I do, you can compare it because you get to meet a lot of different people and different interests. And the way that they travel, it's the same as the way that they like cakes, like flavors. So it's kind of, I mean, even though I'm not in the kitchen, I'm kind of in another kitchen.
Right. We should let the audience know it's cruise stuff. It's
cruise and everything. I mean, we do, even though it's Expedia Cruise Ship Centers, we do everything. Land, tours, cruises, air, everything. I mean, even going to the moon if you want to, if you can afford it.
Well, that's like the cake thing. That's someone coming in and say, hello, I'd like to go to the moon. And you're like, right, what's your budget?
Because exactly.
When people come and order a six-tier cake on a, you know, flat cake budget.
Yeah, true, absolutely true.
Yeah, we all know that pain.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we all know it.
In fact.
But I do miss my cakes. I mean, if I'm... I'm going to tell you the truth. I really miss making my cakes. Right now, I can't because I don't have like a storefront anymore.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, I mean, even though I have inquiries every week, I don't feel like I can like get the people into my house because I don't know the people, you know? And
yeah.
And I don't want them to be in around the house and I don't want to, I don't feel like going to Starbucks and taking my samples there. It is very professional.
Right.
So the world as I used to know it, it's reached an end.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if you saw the story going around and I'm not going to get into too many details on it, but there was a story going around about someone in our cake world who was assaulted in her home because of a client order. It was a fake order, but yeah.
So no, I didn't listen to that.
Yeah, it was a Facebook post that was being shared around, and I don't want to, you know, exploit someone else's story. But I mean, like, she'd been basically, she's now campaigning for safer laws for home-based businesses. as a result, which, I mean, like, bravo to her. But yeah, like, it's, I don't want people coming into my house for a consult either. I mean, I rent. I'm not even technically allowed to have people in for that.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah, and just put yourself in danger. I mean, there's a lot of crazy people out there that you don't know. I mean, you kind of wish you can trust everybody, but you can't.
And even if it's fine, like 99% of the time, that's 1% it's not.
Exactly. Exactly.
But then also, like, if I'm really honest, I don't want to have people over for a cake consult because then I got to clean other parts of the house, you know?
Exactly.
My kids are disgusting. I don't, like, if I'm working on cake projects, which again, I don't sell very often, but like, even if it was like an entry or for a blog thing or collab or whatever I'm doing, my kitchen's clean, but the living room might be a disaster.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I don't want to
have
to
extend as I imagine I do. So like the whole house, it's filled with fondant or sugar paste or chocolate or cake crumbs or.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like right now our living room is full of the crafts that I was doing with the kids over the summer. So like it's a mess. It's a mess in here. I haven't cleaned up. They've only been back to school for a week and a bit. And then Robin was homesick already. So. And I was sick with her. So I have not cleaned the house yet. I wouldn't want to have constant professional cake consults in here.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It is hard when you don't have a storefront.
Yeah.
And I really admire the people that they do not have a storefront and they still do cakes. And,
yeah.
And everything. So
I don't know how they keep their houses. I look at other people who have clean houses and children and I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. I don't like magic. I don't understand it.
Because
even when we deep clean our house, like during the summer, we thought the landlord was coming for an inspection. So we were going to clean anyway, but we did a good deep clean and we worked hard and we looked around and we're like, wow, we've achieved normal people clutter.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
I kind of hope someone's listening right now and looking around their disaster of a kitchen and feels solidarity. Knowing that there are some of us out there who would not judge you.
I'm so sad I'm not close by so I could go and clean up with you.
I have friends who like to clean and they keep offering to come up, which I never know what that means. I'm like, are you telling me I should clean? Like, what? I mean, probably because I just complained about it being a mess and they're genuinely trying to help, but there's a little bit like, like, you know, like you watch that show, like the Queer Eye for the straight guy type shows. And I haven't watched those in years, but like when they were first on, I used to watch them all the time. I think, oh, these guys are so nice. And I don't want anyone touching my things.
Exactly. Exactly. Do not even go there.
No.
I feel you.
Yeah. Okay. But so, well, did you want to get into why you had to stop doing cakes aside from the, you know, doing it out of your house? Why did the storefront have to close?
You know, it was like a pretty bad divorce, the one that I had. Thank God it's over. And right now, I mean, no hard feelings at all. I'm just being blessed with an amazing man who I just married in April 12th. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I'm really happy. And I mean, they had to close the academy, but I mean, that's okay. That's okay. Move on, right? So that is why I don't have a storefront. And also because my husband, my amazing husband, he's a doctor. So right now he's on that age that he wants to have the weekends off, you know, and probably travel. So when I came to him and tell him, you know what, I mean, I have a little bit of savings and I love my cakes. You know, I love my cakes. And he was like, you know what, I mean, you know that this is a weekend job, mostly all of the time, because weddings are doing weekends. And I don't know. I don't feel comfortable with that. And I was like, you know what, and even that, and I mean, with that and my hand that I was just talking to you about, that my cartilage on my thumb, on my right hand, it's gone. So it really hurts my hand when I, at some movements that I have to do with the cakes, like kneading or like doing little tiny stuff, like details, it really hurts. So I mean, I just need to move on. It doesn't mean that I stopped completely. I love making cakes. I love playing with my fondant. The other day I had Salvador's best friend kids in the house, and I took everything, like all my tools and everything. So they, I mean, and we can kind of had a class, and they were super happy.
That's
so
sweet.
Yes, I miss that. I miss being around you guys. I miss being around my friends. And yesterday I was telling that to my son, like, I miss that. I mean, I miss that kind of trips, like going to SoFlo, going to London, going everywhere with my friends, going to New York or taking classes. But I mean, life changes, right? So, but I mean, I'm not out. If I was doing cakes, I will just do cakes right now for special people and hosting classes for really special people. And like I was telling you before we started doing this, like this business is changed a lot. I mean, there's a lot of people that they, like I used to go to Mexico every 4 months to, and I took amazing cake decorators to teach over there in Mexico City. And sadly, there's a lot of people that they don't want to pay for these people to come because it's expensive. I mean, just to bring, like, for example, Ramban Israel to Mexico City, it is expensive because flights, hotel, everything that you have to accommodate. And there's people that they are not willing to pay because they think that if they see, they go to YouTube, they can find the same class. But it's not the same having a one-on-one class where the amazing cake decorator is there and it's teaching you how to move your hand, how to knead the fondant, how to combine the chocolate with the care syrup or whatever. I mean, anything that you really need to know, and it's one-on-one. I mean, you cannot even ask the questions that you want to.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I'm not done with cakes. I'm still sometimes doing some cakes, and I'm trying to organize a class for February in Mexico City. So let's see how it goes.
I've been really having to ask myself, is it okay to use that much, you know, carbon footprint for cakes?
Yes.
And maybe it is okay, right? Like, cause I'm like, I'm not saying other people shouldn't, because like definitely there are people who that's their whole career. It's bringing art and love and joy around the world.
Yeah.
But for me, if I'm doing it mostly to hang out with my friends, which that's valid, but if, like, I'm really weighing, is it okay? I mean, tomorrow, we're recording this on September 19th. Yes. Tomorrow morning, my daughter's going on her fifth youth climate march. And so it makes me really think, well.
Wow, yes.
What's okay there? I mean, I'm going to Cake International, but I'm driving a Prius. I can get there and back on a half tank of gas. So that's, to me, totally legit.
Yeah.
But should I be flying to Austin and SoFlo? No, I've never been to SoFlo. Should I be, like, taken a Eurostar train and I've seen actually how really easy and convenient the Eurostar is, I'm like, oh, maybe I should go to Cake and Bake Germany on the Eurostar, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to evaluate all this and stuff. And I think as an industry, this is, you know, because flights are getting more expensive.
Yes.
I think you're right. Like, we're facing not just the within our industry thing of there are more people doing it in more places. There are more famous people in more places. You know, I feel like when I won at the Austin show, I was a small fish in a big fish in a small pond.
Exactly.
And now I'm a really small fish in an ocean.
Me too. I do feel the same.
Yeah.
I do feel the same. I mean, and it's true. I mean, you need to keep moving forward, right? And in order to do that, you need to prioritize what you need and what you want to do. And even though I would love to, like, keep making cakes and going to trade shows or expos or anything. I mean, business has changed.
Yeah.
I mean, as I don't own a storefront, I don't have the exposure right now that I used to have.
Yeah.
You know, so it is difficult and it's different. So we need to keep moving forward. And I'm not going to just like lay on bed crying because I miss my cakes and I don't have my tools. No, I'm just going to keep moving forward and work with what I have and just take advantage of the opportunities that God's given me. So,
yeah. And that's we have to find our niches in this. I mean, that's what I'm doing this podcast. You know, if you'd asked me 4 years ago, would I be doing this? No, but this is taking up so much time that I don't have time to do much actual cake work. And that's even with this year taking several episodes off compared to the previous year. I was breaking myself last year.
Yes.
And like, so I'm still in the world, and I had an actual cake sale a couple weeks ago, which like that's so rare. It was a friend, right?
Yeah.
But still, like, actual money changed hands. So that's pretty amazing. But like, I mean, part of it, there are days I would like to just sit and play with royal icing, like I keep saying I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm a mom, I got to do all that stuff. And then then the podcast comes up, or then now Cake International coming up, which I'm not even competing in. Like, I took competitions off just trying to reduce the load, not because I don't love making stuff, but just there's just so much.
Yes. Yeah. It is. It is, and it's a lot of work, and probably you don't even get paid, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so you need, like I said, you need to prioritize, and you need to see what's going to give you money, to survive in this world.
Right, and when I did this cake for my friend, I mean, it was like our daughters are in the same class. They're like besties. So I was at the party that it was at, and I could see the reception of the cake, which is really nice, right? And it also meant that, of course, I had to cut it, because no one ever wants to cut our cakes. Like, so if you're in the room, they always make you cut the cake. And I'm actually really phenomenally bad. This is one of the biggest jokes about me. I can make you a perfectly straight and smooth six-tier cake. But if you give me a loaf of bread to cut, you are not getting two even slices. I just can't. Like, it's ridiculous how incapable I am of cutting things. But so, like, I cut the cake for her and stuff, but then all of her relatives were there. Most, like, I don't know them. I've seen them at one or two other events at their house, but that's, you know, I couldn't name them. But they were coming up to me and saying how great it was, which at first I was thinking was just polite. But then this fairly older gentleman came up to me and he said, "Did you make that cake?" And I said, "Yes." And because you brace for impact, you're like, "Oh, how's this going to go, right?"
Oh, my God.
And he says, "It was really good." And I said, "Oh, okay. I'm glad." And he said, "That I give it an 11 out of 10. And I'm like, "Oh, wow." And he said, He says, "That is the best cake I've ever had. And I'm 82 years old."
Wow.
And okay, it was a vanilla cake. I don't usually make vanilla. She wanted a Victoria sandwich type vanilla. I had to practice the recipe the week before. I thought the
recipe. I don't even know what is. What is that?
It was. It's the sponge cake. It's a.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here they call that a Victoria sandwich or a pound cake. Sorry, I said sponge. That's a British one. It's 200 grams of sugar, butter, flour. So anytime you have the three those things in the equal weights, that's it's a pound cake. It's a sponge. It's a Victoria sandwich. A Victoria sandwich then usually has jam in the middle, but we didn't put jam in it. But yeah, so I made this. I make a great chocolate cake, but, you know, kid wants vanilla. Okay. So I found a recipe that actually didn't have any vanilla in it. It was just blank cake. I added so much vanilla on my test recipe. But then I thought, okay, it's still really dry. And my chocolate cake is so moist. I've never had to simple syrup it.
Uh-huh.
So when I made this test cake, then I made like another one and I simple syruped it.
Of course.
I think that audience was used to this classic recipe that is dry and flavorless.
It's dry, yes.
And all I gave them was vanilla and simple syrup.
Yeah.
And they just thought it was gorgeous.
Yeah, they're like, "Oh my God."
Actual flavor. So, but this is the thing.
And I bet he was amazing.
I mean, I don't like vanilla cake, so I thought it was too sweet. But oh, and get this. I screwed it up. And this is my own fault. This is my own hubris. You know how if you're adjusting a recipe, you should write down how you're adjusting it?
Of course.
Yeah, no, I was an idiot as I was doing it, because I was doing a 1.5 times the recipe, which, because then that would give me, you know, because you always do it by the egg. You're always calculating to the nearest egg, right?
Yes.
So it would, instead of the 4 eggs, it would be 6. Mm-hmm. And I had all my eggs out at room temperature, and I was making several batches, because she had also ordered some side cakes, so she'd have enough cake. Yeah. And I had all my eggs out at room temperature, and I'm just going along doing, I thought, I don't need to write this down. I did, because I get the first cakes, the actual 8-inch rounds in the oven, and then I look at the eggs that are there, and I'm like, that seems like a lot. Oh my God, I only put 4 eggs in when I was supposed to up it to 6 for the 1.5 times recipe. So I took it out of the oven, and like when it was cooked, because it was already, at this point, had been in there for 10 minutes of, you know, 25. There was no recovering it at that point. When it came out, I was like, well, I do use large eggs, and recipes here usually mean medium. Like, is this good? Like, maybe it would be okay, right? Like, it was possible. And so I waited for it to cool enough that I could level it, and then I sampled the level thing, and I'm like, this is really oily. This is really buttery.
Okay.
And then one of the 3 cakes basically started sinking, and I'm like, right, here we go. I'm remaking these cakes. So I called that mistake cake, put it off to the side. My 13-year-old ate it for the next 5 days, and she said it was the best vanilla cake. And I said, that's because you're eating butter cake.
Exactly.
Because there's, like, not enough egg relative to the butter. So she loved it. She's like, I want butter cake all the time. I am, whatever.
Yeah. Mom, please keep doing that. Mistake.
But yeah, because it was a paid client cake, and they loved the cake so much, I bet I could have passed off mistake cake and they would have been happy.
Yes.
But I wasn't going to do that. I would never do that, let alone for a friend. That was just
not. Oh, no. No. You have to be professional, even with friends.
Yeah. And well, this is the thing, like we were talking about with, you know, wanting to do more than we can. Mm-hmm. I could have had massive success. I had all of her relatives say, like, wanting to order cakes. Yes. Can we have your card? I didn't bring cards. Because I don't want a bunch of orders. I can't take a bunch of orders. So when they would say this, I'd say to them, well, maybe, but you should know I'm very expensive. And actually, all cake decorators out there, I would like to say this feels great and empowering when you do this, to say, okay, but I'm expensive. And it's really hard, unless you don't want to make the cake. And then it's really easy. Mm-hmm. And you know what all of them said? Okay, how much? One of them went, oh, really? How much? They wouldn't have done it. They're all British, so they would have not sounded like that anyway.
but you know what? That is something that I also do. I mean, if you really, really want the cake that I know that it's going to be hard for me to make, I mean, it's going to cost you. And this is a lesson that I learned over the time, that I was underpricing my cakes.
Uh-huh.
Right now, I mean, at my age, now I understand that, you know what, you better get paid for what you do, mm-hmm. and well paid for what you do, because it's human labor, and it's hand labor, and it is exhausting. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can be on your feet 12 hours.
Oh, easily. Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, and I cannot do like my cake work sitting down. I've never sat down to decorate cake.
I try to sit down, and then I catch myself standing again.
Yes, me too.
Because you have to get you have to see over it, or you're, or it's too big, or yeah.
And you know what? I mean, it was never my dream to be the best cake decorator in the whole wide world, because number one, I knew I wasn't going to be, because I'm not as talented as a lot of people. I mean, I do have my talents, but I'm not as talented as other people. I have a lot of things on my plate, right? So even though I host a lot of classes, if you don't practice, you don't make perfect, right? I mean, so you need to really stick on this business to succeed and to excel.
Yeah.
So I think where I am, at the point that I am right now, I'm completely okay with it. I mean, I still love, and I'm part of the Sutton Fine Foods family, and that will never go away. And the moment that they call me, I'll just jump and go wherever they ask me to, because they know I love them and they know I live for them. But that's about it. I mean, that's about as much as I want to pull my hand or hurt myself anymore.
Yeah. I mean, well, and we're not the only ones who feel this way. I had Trinity Chapman on, oh God, it's got to have been over a year ago now. And she was same thing because, you know, she's got little kids and family stuff going on and other business on the side, too. And we were talking then about how it's a valid strategy to just set your prices so high that if someone brings you that wheelbarrow of cash, you'll do it.
Exactly. It's like my friend Debbie Brown. I mean, she only makes cakes for wealthy people. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I want to be with you like you when I grow up. I want to have those customers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, I mean, I just the episode I just put out today had Dawn Butler making a cake for the Queen, the actual Queen of England. And I did a promo for it that said, because she tells the story about all the things that went wrong and all the difficulties. And so I did a promo clip that said something like, have you ever been partway through a cake and it's not working out? And you think to yourself, well, it's not for the Queen of England. Well, what if it is for the Queen of England?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, people need to go back to the previous episode and listen. But
I will do because I just saw it today and I need to listen to it.
Yeah.
I love Dawn. I love Dawn. And she's so talented that it hurts.
I know. Okay. She's like, I kept fawning over her. Like, I'm like, I worship you. You're such an innovator. I love you so much. I edited it, I even edited some of the fawning out. There's still so much fawning.
She is adorable. She is insanely adorable. And this is the people that, you know, like, I mean, I look up to her, Debbie, Lauren Kitchens, like innovative people. Of course, my Ron Bonbon. I mean, but that's different. And that's what I try to tell everybody. I mean, if you have a business, I mean, a cake business, it's different than just going around and teaching classes.
Yeah.
Or going around and doing cakes for competitions. It's a completely different animal.
Yeah.
I mean, if I would have the time right now to make cakes, I will go like Ron Bonbon or Lauren Kitchens, like have a storefront and just be successful. But I cannot do it right now.
Are you in the middle of a big project right now? Are you at that dreaded point halfway along where everything looks all weird and the faces aren't quite human and the animals look like the wrong species, or you haven't covered up the seams, or there's some other part that, because it's not done yet, just looks wrong? Are you exhausted and asking yourself why? Why are you even engaged in this art form? Because you just want to go do something else, but this project is making you hate sugar? Well, remember, we've all been there. Everyone in this industry has been where you are right now, and we will all be there again. The midpoint of any project stinks. You've put in so much time and so much work, but still have so far to go. And there are a dozen other things you'd rather do right now. We all understand. But come on now. We also know how awesome you're going to feel at the end of this thing. Whatever you're making is going to be amazing. You are going to put that last piece on and stand back and be so happy with what you've accomplished. Because yeah, it's hard, but that's what makes it worthwhile in the end. So take a break if you need to, but keep on going because you rock. You are awesome. You are an artist, and this is your latest masterpiece. Woohoo! You go! You do it! You keep slogging through it, and we are all cheering you on. Yeah! Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of empty shops around Cambridge, pretty much because Brexit. I mean, like, not gonna lie, stuff's going bad here right now. And by the time this episode comes out, who knows who will even be in government or if we'll have a government. Like, we are literally in this tinderbox right now. It's so stupid. But that's causing this economic upheaval. And so I see these storefronts that when we moved here in 2014, they were all full and there were waiting lists and you couldn't get a storefront. And now I see all these empty ones and there's a part of my brain that goes, oh, you know, Robin does sleep through the night now. Maybe I could start a business. But then you got to think the other logical side of that. Now would be a really stupid time to start a business when the economy might be about to collapse.
Exactly. And not, it's not the Brexit, not only the Brexit, same here in the States or in Mexico.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're being ruled by idiots.
Is true. And I keep saying, it's not a political podcast, but when the politics affect our cake, we can talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's,
and I don't care.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Look, at this point, let's be honest. Anyone who's listening to me say anything knows where I stand. I am not quiet. I am not meek. I will not shut up. So,
And it's good. Yeah. It is good.
Well, that's part of, like, when I signed off for the summer, because I took a break to, I really wanted to focus on the kids this summer, and I did. We crafted every day. It was amazing. When I signed off for the summer, it was right when the concentration camp stuff had really been peaking. I mean, it's still there. Nothing's changed, but, like, it's sort of out of the news cycle now. But so I recorded a message to, you know, sort of lift people's spirits a little bit to say, well, like, you know, if you're a baker, you can have a bake sale to raise money for, like, the legal aid teams and stuff. And that's still the case. There are still things we can do as bakers. And like I said, it is affecting – it's affecting cake shows. Again, Cake International is going to happen the weekend after Brexit is maybe going to happen. So what's gonna happen? Let's assume we have a hard Brexit, and no one can get through customs. Well, that's gonna be great for all those vendors traveling with stuff, let alone teachers coming through, let alone the public coming through. So I mean, the organizers of Cake International must be in knots. I just read last week, London Comic Con, which happens the week before Cake International, so like the week before Brexit, they canceled for this year.
No way.
They canceled because the pound is in such flux from this Brexit nonsense that they can't book American stars because they don't know how much that's actually. And if they sign a contract for, like, what, £10,000, is that, you know, $10,000? Is that $15,000? Is that $5,000? It's, they can't budget because the pound is too unstable.
Yeah.
That's a major show.
You know what? I didn't think about that, about the Cake International.
Yeah.
That'll be awful.
It is literally the next day. October 31st is when Boris Johnson says we leave. November 1st is the first day of Cake International. Because I know, because it's really annoying. I have to do Halloween, and then I got to go drive at 7 o'clock the next morning. Which is, again, glad I'm not competing, because then I'd have to leave at 5. but
for you, I mean, it's strange that you're not competing, but good for you.
Well, that's just because, like, it was not fun anymore. It was turning to stress, not fun. And then since I'm not traveling to Austin anyway, I've just blanket said I'm going to take a couple years off competing, which is, it's just worked out good in that regard. I mean, it's not good, but you know what I mean? Like, it's convenient in that regard. But yeah, we don't know. No one can know right now as we record this on September 19th what's going to happen next week, let alone by Cake International. We don't know if we'll be in Europe, if we'll not be in Europe. We don't know what's going to happen with the customs union. We don't know if there will be free movement or not. We don't know if every European is going to have to leave the country.
Oh, wow.
Like, we don't know. I mean, because they say, oh, there's a guarantee for this, but now there isn't a guarantee. We don't know if Ireland is going to end up having to have a war. Like, are the Irish people going to be able to come over, or is Sinn Féin going to have to rise back up? Like, this is what we're living with, but, oh, we're supposed to think about cake.
But then again, that's what I was saying. I mean, I think sometimes that we're moving backwards instead of forward. I mean, and I'm not saying anything about the Brexit because, like, honestly, I'm not well educated in that. But, like, I'm living here in the States, and right now I cannot even leave the States because I'm waiting for my travel permit, which it was supposed to be here in 4 months and hasn't arrived yet. So we had to cancel 2 trips that we had, like, working trips. And we had to cancel them because everything is so slow right now because immigration, right? But I'm doing, like, it's what I was telling my friends, that since July 15th of 2005 that we stepped our foot here in the States, we enter legally. with everything, all the papers, all the lawyers, everything paid. I paid my taxes every year. And for, I mean, for me, like being trapped here, it is crazy. I mean, but politics, yeah, I mean, it affects every single part of the world, every single job, every single profession.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I had Anna Adashkina on in January. She's Russian. Mm-hmm. She can't leave the U.S. either.
See?
And her husband is a pilot. I mean, he's in this highly sought after job. And but she, so she's traveling around the States, but they can't leave because they don't know if they can get back in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I sell cruises now, right? And I've never been in a cruise. So they invited me to the inaugural journey of the new Norwegian ship, the Anchor. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be just a 3-day thing, like going from Miami to their private island in Bahamas and then coming back. And I just asked today, Monica, the owner of the franchise here in San Antonio, like, do you think I will need a passport? Because if I need a passport, I mean, it's until November 19th or so. And I still have some time. But I just, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the lawyer told me probably it's going to be 4 months, probably 11 months. You never know.
Yeah. It's that uncertainty.
Yes.
It's damaging, obviously, to the economy as a whole. But if you think about it, if someone wants to plan a wedding abroad and maybe one of them isn't a citizen, that's going to affect that wedding, and which means it affects who's buying a cakeware.
Exactly.
And if people have economic insecurity, well, they're not going to pay us for that cake. I mean, we're kind of, because we deal in what's effectively a luxury item.
Exactly. And sadly, a cake, it's a luxury item.
Yeah. Then we are the first people who don't get paid if people start pulling back.
Yeah, that's and you know why? That is why I really consider Lauren Kitchens one of a kind. She's so smart on her business. She knows when to charge, how to charge, and she has a business and she's really successful. I wish I could think like her. And I mean, even though with economy going down, going up, whatever, she manages. She just manages to keep going.
Mm-hmm. I need to get her on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I need to. I'll suck up via Jesse.
Yeah. Exactly.
I had Jesse on the show and we talked for 7.5 hours.
Oh, I love Jesse.
It was so nice, but it was so horrible to edit. So now I just like, I as much as I love all of you, I'm not doing any more 7.5 hour calls because that was nuts.
I know. Yeah, that's another lady that I love, Jessie. She's so freaking talented.
Yeah.
It hurts my feelings.
She would love that phrasing too. I don't know if you listen. Your name comes up regularly on this show.
Really?
Yeah, it's like because everyone like knows you through a show or through Satin Ice or something. And so it's really like just be talking about something and say, oh, yeah, because Mary Carmen said, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, I love Mary Carmen. And then kind of like the conversation keeps going. Like
they don't say like the crazy Mexican.
No, it's never Mary Carmen Gonzalez Abrams Smith Longhorn III.
I love it. I love it. I'm still the queen. I'm sorry. No, I'm the Satin Ice queen.
You are the Satin Ice queen. Are you kidding? I will suck up to you for Satin Ice anytime I get.
Oh, and you know that, have you seen the new products that we have? Buttercream and the chocolate covering. And, oh my gosh. Amazing. I have to ship you some stuff before Brexit.
Yeah, right? Oh my God.
Buttercream is just so amazing. You couldn't believe.
Oh, I will put that in my face. Satin Ice is the only fondant that goes in my face.
Exactly.
Particularly the dark chocolate. So here's the sad thing. And again, I mentioned it on the one I just did with Dawn, and I mentioned it in the ones I did in the summer. I bought myself, at great expense, because it's an import here, a big bucket of the dark chocolate to do my birthday cake last November. Well, except now it was about December or January before I was actually getting around to it. But it was months ago. And... Mm-hmm. Something keeps coming up. Like, again, I've told myself, because we're doing this now in advance, and I've just got the podcast out today, and this is because I'm skipping an episode because my daughter's birthday is coming up. I've told myself, I'm going to make my birthday cake next week. I guarantee you something's going to explode. And so here's the problem. The expiry date was the end of August. It's probably still fine because it's sealed, but you know that chocolate goes off faster. It's not like the other fondant. Yes. The chocolate goes faster. I've had the chocolate stuff go moldy, and it's the saddest thing in the world when the chocolate goes moldy. Yeah. And like if I open it, you know, on Monday and it's moldy, you will hear across the water a piercing scream of wailing torment. Because it cost me a small fortune, and I want it in my face.
Yeah, I know. I can just, like, keep eating the bucket like there's no tomorrow. It's just so good.
Yeah, it is good. It's
so good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm diabetic. I can't eat a lot of this stuff. But my fudgy dark chocolate cake covered in dark chocolate ganache with dark chocolate satin ice fondant on it is, I'm just going to say this, it's the best cake in the world. Fight me. Fight me. Yeah. Like, it is.
I know. Just the smell of it. It's like heaven.
I know. I really want to open the bucket right now, but I don't want to because I want to keep it sealed. Because what if I don't get to do it next week?
I'm glad I am that I'm on the office right now that I don't have any fondant close by.
I know. Well, that's the other thing. I mean, I can't eat a lot of... Like, it's not like I can eat a big piece of cake at any time, right? But... Yeah. I can't sit there eating that, but it's the only fondant in the world that if I'm rolling it and there's a little bit off the side, yum.
Yeah.
Well, I don't do that with any. I don't even do that with regular satin ice. I don't eat fondant, any other fondant. I eat satin ice dark chocolate.
Good.
That's
good
it.
For you. You're a good girl.
Well, it kind of...
You've learned right.
Well, it's a punishment situation. If I eat a mouthful of fondant, I'm going to be sick for a day, so...
So. Yeah, I know. But if you eat, you have to eat the best.
Yeah.
So,
well, and the dark chocolate, the dark chocolate, because it's got the cocoa and the fat in it, mitigates the sugar a bit. But that's why my cake is rich, because it's full of egg, because if I put more egg, I can handle more sugar.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's a protein carb balance because I'm a polycystic diabetic. It's very, it's all very sciencey. But that's why I don't like the vanilla cake, because the vanilla cake is just sugar and vanilla, and I can't.
Yes.
Yeah. I just can't eat
it. Well, any cake is good cake. I mean, I don't care.
No, you know what? My kids won't eat other people's cake. Really rarely. Like Robin will be at a birthday party and she'll start to eat cake because she's excited because it's cake. And then she gives me this look and she brings it to me and says, "You hold this." And then she will not come back and finish it.
Oh, but isn't that like the best feeling in the world?
Yeah. But now, see, I'm wondering if it's maybe a lot of these other cakes that she's having maybe just taste like unflavored flour or something, because that's what that recipe was. This classic British recipe had no flavor, guys.
Like, Mommy, something's going on with this cake.
Put some vanilla in it. It's not a vanilla cake if there's no vanilla in it. It's just blank.
Oh, and now that I remember, I'm talking about satin ice. Today, September 19th, they just post satin ice in honor to Ice and Smiles. That's another company that I will be making cakes for free for my whole life.
Yes.
That's a very noble cause. And you can make the difference there. You can just come home and just say, you know what? Today, I think I touch a life.
Yeah, well, okay, so just in case anyone hasn't, we've talked about Icing Smiles and Bake-A-Wish on the show before, but just in case someone's new, let's talk about it. Icing Smiles is for kids in hospitals, correct?
Correct, and for their siblings as well.
That's right. So Bake-A-Wish is kids in the system, like often in abuse shelters.
Yes.
Or in foster situations and things like that. But yeah, if like that same thing, if either of those kind of things were operating here, that's what I would bake for. Because
the,
I would make time.
Just a smile. And that, I love the name that, Ice and Smiles or Make a Wish, because it's just like, you're really making a difference in the world.
Yeah.
You're really doing and marking your life.
Yeah.
The life of kids or, I mean, adults or whomever, but I mean, mostly kids here.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, kids, like you just said, right? Like your daughter just like, she sees the cake and she just gets so excited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about it. I mean, you can change the life of a child who's in pain, who's in, I mean, dealing with these terrible things. And you can change one day or 1 hour. I mean, it's an amazing feeling.
And they remember it for the rest of their lives, because
exactly.
Many of them who are in, like, some of these programs have been around for a long time, they'll come back as adults and say, you know, this was really tough, but someone made me a Lego cake and it was the greatest day.
Yes.
And it makes a difference.
Yes. And that is some, I think what it hurt me the most about losing Young Chefs Academy, because I was so close to kids every day. And I love them. I love kids. I love the energy that they share with me, like the how fun they are and self-aware of nothing. And they just like say random things. And
yes.
I miss that. And that is one of the worst things that I've ever had to live.
Yeah.
By losing my shop.
Yeah.
My academy.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know, because the same thing, not coming to teach the Austin classes, like we're teaching a class on, I don't know, how to make ladybird cookies, and then one of them's like, can I make a space alien? And I'm like, yes.
Yeah,
yes, you can.
Whatever.
Can I make mine a rabbit with blood coming out of its nose? Absolutely, because I'm not here to tell you no.
Exactly.
Yeah, the only rule I had for those kids was, I'm not telling you not to eat it. I'm telling you should wait for your parent to come collect you and take a picture. because
exactly.
Like, when you're teaching kids, if you're going to try and say, don't eat the fondant, you've just basically said, sneak some fondant, kids.
Exactly.
That was all Satin Ice fondant, too, because of the Satin Ice donating to the show. So.
Of course, because we are the best of the best of the best.
I'm down with that. I keep saying, like, there's no official sponsorship of this podcast at this time, but I have not been subtle in my hints to Satin Ice.
Yeah, no worries. I'll get your address and I'll ship you stuff.
Lovely. I mean, because the thing is, the contest. Remember the contest we tried from Austin?
Yes.
Where you were going to send the bucket of the new Burgundy.
Yes, and I did.
And you did, because we had one entrant.
Mm-hmm.
One. it was when Anna was on in January. We were talking about this, how I just can't make the contests work. Because they work on blogs, but people don't seem to want to do anything with the podcast to do it. And it's like, I give them a month. It's not like, or even longer, 6 weeks. It's not like it's because, oh, you had to listen that to it that day. It's nothing like that. It's not like I say you have to find the word in the podcast. It's just,
exactly.
I'll say something like, okay, for the next 6 weeks, call in, you know, give me a call in or drop me an email or whatever to say you like Satin Ice or you like this brand or whatever.
Let's do it right now. Let's do it right now. And what do you want to give away? I mean,
this is the thing. No one's going to do it, because I offered in January to give away. I had a spare PME multi-cutter because I got a duplicate. Right. Because I had one. I already had one. I think it came in cake bag or whatever. And I already had it. And so I said, I really promoted it. I put it on Instagram. I put it all over the place. I'm like,
yes,
if someone, and even when no one had entered, I started saying things like, guys, nobody has entered. If you enter right now, you win.
Yeah.
And nobody entered.
Really?
And I could see that like 300 people had listened to the episode. I know, so I don't know what it is.
Let's do it again.
Okay.
Let's try it again, and let's see how it goes. And it's not just going to be one bucket. Let's do, what, three?
Three buckets of Satin Ice?
Yeah, 3 5-pounders.
Oh, my God. I mean, are you sure? Like, I mean, is this restricted to the States or anywhere in the world?
Absolutely sure, and I'll take full responsibility.
Okay. All right.
I mean, not customs, of course, but I mean, I'll ship it.
Okay.
I'll ship it to anywhere in the whole wide world.
Oh my, like that.
I want you to have your hands on our amazing product.
Okay, so what do we want people to have to do? Because what I've done in the past is said, call in and say what you like or something like that, and nobody calls in. So I think if we
Why don't we post something on the podcast on Instagram or Facebook? Post why you like Sad Nice, or why would you like to have 3 buckets of Sad Nice?
Okay,
of Sad Nice.
And mention let's come up with a hashtag or something, because they have obviously have to mention the podcast.
Hashtag sexy Sad Nice Queen.
Hashtag sexy. Hang on, what was it?
Satin Nice Queen.
Hashtag Satin Ice Queen. Hashtag Sexy Satin Ice Queen?
Yes.
Okay, so they have to hashtag
That's it.
Sexy Satin Ice Queen. See, no one's going to do it. They're not. I guarantee you nobody's going to do it.
Oh my God, Kevin is going to kill me.
Okay, maybe it shouldn't be Sexy Satin Ice Queen. How about this? You have to post on. I don't look at Instagram enough.
Oh, you have to.
I do like a little bit, but I really mostly focus on Facebook because I can yell about politics on Facebook.
But you know what? I mean, Instagram, because I've heard my kids telling me it's. Now it is the influencers, and it is the thing to do right
okay,
now.
Okay, so. Right.
I'm doing Instagram or Facebook.
Okay, so Instagram. Hang on, let me check. When is this one airing? Let me make sure I get the date this right. Hang on.
And how are we going to choose the winner?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We gotta plan this. We're like doing this live on air, like, because we're so professional. okay, so this episode is gonna. We're recording this like nearly a month in advance because we're just so crazy busy. Okay, but so this episode will air on October 17th.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm going to be crazy nuts busy with CI. So should we give people to the end of November to do whatever we're going to ask them to do?
Perfect. So can get the callers for their Christmas cakes.
Okay. So by the end of November, you have to post on Instagram or Facebook with hashtag that says, I want that satin ice.
Yes.
And you have to, tag on Instagram I'm Writer Crafter, I think. You know what? This is how little I do Instagram. I'm Writer Crafter. Writer Crafter.
I'm Chef Marie Carmen on Instagram, so they can tag me as well and tag both of us.
Tag both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And
Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, and just say what you want to make with it. What you'd make with 3 buckets of satin ice.
Exactly. Exactly.
And let's see if anyone enters. And then, okay, so I guess I think the thing to do is if we actually get entrance and more than one.
People, enter. Enter to win.
we will do a randomized draw.
Okay.
I'm so certain it's going to be less than 5 people.
Okay, no, because it's going to be an ego boost for me that I really need.
Okay.
So people is going to enter.
I know, but this is the thing. I've offered, I've posted to say, and the deadline's tomorrow, enter now, and I'm mailing you a cutter. And they didn't. Nobody would do it. So, I don't know. But I was talking to Rob Baker Gall about this, too, because he does some competitions on his blog, and he gets a few people entering, but not as many as you'd think. I mean, he gets these prize hampers full of, there's, 6 colors and a dragé kiss and, because you're friends with Gwen and a Cake Duchess tool set. He gets these hampers full of stuff and he gets, 10 entrants. And I'm like, damn. Why are people not entering these things?
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you right now, I enter his. I'm like, I want the stuff.
Yeah, of course. Who doesn't want free stuff?
I know. Maybe I'm entering this contest.
I as well.
Yeah, Schmimberly Schmappman is entered. Okay, so by the end of November, I will make this, I will type this up properly on the show notes page, so it's all nice and legal.
Okay.
We need them, they need to post what they want to do with 3 buckets of satin ice with hashtag, I want that satin ice. If you want to use the bonus hashtag of calling Mary Carmen sexy queen in any way, it won't influence your chance of winning. It will just make her happy. And who doesn't want more happiness in the world? So also you can include that, but that's not mandatory. Totally include it.
No.
But And yeah, so by the end of November, you have to do, that's, I mean, that's pretty easy. On Facebook or Instagram, and we'll keep an eye out. And then if in the case that there are actual multiple entries, if it's enough, if it's 20 or less, I'm rolling a die because I have, I have okay. RPG
it's
dice.
It's going to be like 100,000 people.
Actually, even if it's 100, I have percentile dice. Mm-hmm. So I will do it by numbered, like we'll actually make a chart, number the entries, and I will roll a die.
Okay.
That's how we'll randomly choose. And if it's more than 100, then fine, I'll stick it in a randomized number generator, which I don't even know how to do, and I'm going to guarantee you I won't need to know how to do, because we will not get more than 100 entries.
That'd be amazing.
If you got 100 entries, I would scream. Like that would. If we got 5 entries, I'll be excited.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why people don't want the free stuff. I think
exactly.
Well, okay, now some of it's going to be, I think most people who are listening are either, I mean, from what I hear from listeners, they're either right now elbows deep in, you know, Rice Krispie treats and fondant.
Yeah.
So they're busy, right? So they're going to forget. They're also, like, they're probably doing that at 2 o'clock in the morning, so they're tired.
Yeah.
Someone just laughed because they're like, no, it's 3. Because, like, they're all tired people up to their elbows in fondant. Or they're listening while they're driving a cake somewhere, or while they're mm-hmm. traveling to a cake show.
Mm-hmm.
So again, they're not conveniently somewhere where they can just go and do the entry, I think, is part of it. Whereas when you're reading a blog, it says click here and you're entered.
Different. Yeah.
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 So I think
but
that's
we can do it,
it.
I mean, not just on the day that you broadcast the podcast.
No, that's what I'm saying. We're
I'm
giving them.
To say that.
We're giving them from October 17th until the end of the last day of November.
Perfect.
I guess closes at midnight British time, just for legal ease.
See, my ESL problem didn't get that, and so now I got it.
I would love for someone to enter because, yes, okay, so when we did the giveaway, which, again, started about this level of professional joke at, when we were sitting there at the Aston show, Haley won because I told her about it. I said, oh, we're going to be running this contest for the podcast. Because I interviewed her for the Austin episode as well, because that was her first cake show. And I said, oh, we're going to do this contest so you can win a bucket of satin ice. And she said, oh, I can't wait to listen. And of course, because she was on the show, she did listen. And then she entered and she won, but she was the only person who entered.
Oh, I didn't know that, but I'm happy for her.
Yes. If all else fails, then we will just make up a bunch of names and enter ourselves to make ourselves feel better. Because that's
yeah, for my ego boost.
Maybe I should make Rob Baker Gall enter my contest because I enter his contest. I'll poke him specifically. Enter my contest.
Yeah,
win some
exactly.
satin ice. Yeah. Because well, but hey, here's the joke though too. Rob's not doing a lot of decorating cakes right now either because he is a teacher. And he's just taken time, you know, he's just gone to part-time teaching so he can focus on his cake blog and his cake YouTube channel. So he's not making a bunch of client cakes, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I'm sure he could use satin ice in a project, but do you know what I mean? Like, so I think this is part of the thing is more and more the people we know aren't doing a lot of sales. I mean, I do know people who do sales.
Yes.
But like you said,
there's a lot of people doing just classes, like teaching.
Just classes. But no, more and more people I know are interested in it. They've gone from full pro to more, I don't want to say hobby because they're still pros, but
yes,
they're going to a cake show. They're available for cakes or something like we are, but like not really.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we're all getting sick and not getting paid. We're all getting burned out on the workload mm-hmm. with not getting paid.
Yeah.
And I just know so many people who in the last few years just really aren't selling many cakes because they just can't take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's sad uh-huh. because, I mean, we're talking about really good artists.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, even when you look at some of the top names who were at, you know, at the top peak tiers a couple years ago. I mean, Carol Borleo is now doing, I mean, she's still doing cakes, but she's also doing candles.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Yeah, there just seems to be like a lot of people who are sort of like moving into other arts because, I don't know, I guess the reasons
because
we said.
Because you have to move forward.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer, but like, because we do bring all the sweet, this is what I'm constantly on about with the cake formations, that even aside from Icing Smiles and Bake-A-Wish, we even for client cakes, what we bring is joy. What we bring is
exactly
love. And I mean, cake comes in happy times to make it happier.
Yes.
And it's sad that economies being what they are, that fewer people can get something beautiful and delicious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely. Bummer. Okay, we need to make more sexy jokes or something. You're so sexy.
Miss Sexy Satin Eyes Queen.
Sexy Satin Eyes Queen.
It's time for a podcast helpful reminder. Are you working on a competition piece? Are you working on a client cake? When was the last time you checked the rules for your competition entry? When was the last time you read your client contract to make sure that you're spelling that name right? You're working really hard, I know, but every once in a while, you need to pause, go check that you're doing it right, because you're an amazing artist, but we all make mistakes. So right now, if you can pause, go check what you need to do, make sure it fits in the space that it needs to go into, make sure everything's spelled right, and then get back to work, because you're awesome.
For listeners who don't know, you should go. I will link also to the episode where I had you on explaining. Well, I guess that would have been that Austin episode talking about the eyelashes at Cake International.
Oh, okay, yes.
Because yeah, we're not going to make you rehash that story now. But that comes up a lot when that's actually sometimes how your name comes up. It's talking about not just checking the rules, but printing the rule the. When someone has said you can bring something, printing it off so you can prove it. Because, the long story short version of that is they told you could, and then they told you you couldn't, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and it was an awful misunderstanding for the judge.
Yeah.
And it was a bummer for me.
Yeah, because the judge doesn't know that someone gave you permission. So that's
exactly.
People, I will link to it. People go back and listen to that podcast for the full story. But the resulting advice is if you are going to a cake show and you have emailed them to say, hey, can I make such and such because it's not in the rules? And they say, yes, print that and bring it with you.
Yes.
Just in case.
And read, people, because we're all used to not read anything. So read, go through the rules and really read them until, I mean, you understand everything.
Yeah. Well, especially for Cake International, because, oh boy, they will disqualify.
Oh, yes.
Yes, as you learned. I mean, in this past year, it was actually, they didn't put cards out if it was disqualified. So there were a lot of cakes that people, like, at first I was thinking, oh, this is really nice. I'm not seeing any disqualifications. Then I found out later, oh, they just weren't marking them as disqualified publicly, and that there actually were quite a lot. And I think that's actually scarier because then you don't know.
Yeah.
It was one thing when you could look at a beautiful cake, see a disqualification and go, oh man, why? And it would have written on the card disqualified wires in the cake with no posy picks. And you go, well, it did say not to do that, or disqualified because I saw there was this gorgeous piece that I think it had like a hedgehog, but then there was a butterfly and the butterfly had wire antenna.
Oh, bomb.
Yeah. So it was like disqualified for this. So then it would, when you would see the reasons why things were disqualified on the cards, I mean, I get that that's kind of probably embarrassing for that person, but it also was very educational for everyone else.
Yes.
And so now this past year when they didn't, or if they did put it out, I didn't see it. I thought that they didn't. I could be wrong. But then it makes you go, oh, wait. It makes it scarier because now it's like veiled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, even me, that I've been judge on several competitions, I mean, we have to go back and read like the rules. And so we know what we need to be dealing with if we've face something like that.
Did you judge at Austin this recent year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Did you get the judging advice sheet?
Yes.
I wrote those. What did you think?
Oh, it was amazing.
Because
it's really, really complete and a really precise explanation.
Okay, good. Because I will do that again for this year. I know Nick Lodge liked them. He publicly praised it, which made me feel really good. Because usually when you do this background stuff, you don't expect praise, and that's fine. I don't do it for praise. I do it because I want stuff fixed. Yes. that's why Kyla and I are so often on the same page, that it's not about telling us good job. It's about that you like the result. We want people yes. happy with the result. That to me is much more important than being thanked, but being thanked is nice. So yeah, so the audience knows what I did was because I could see I'm a competitor and a show manager. Mm-hmm. I see all the sides of this, and I mean, I haven't judged, but I'm aware of where the controversies in judging often happen that are very, yes. you know, behind the scenes, because I'm part of the show. So I know what's going on. If there's drama, I hear about it. So, I mean, for Austin, not for Cake International, I'm not involved with that one. But, so we have the rule. So the rule will say you have to make, you know, your single tier novelty cake must be a single tier. Like, oh my God, the yes. number of people who don't even follow that. But it yeah. needs to be single tier. It can be any theme, whatever. It'll say that. But then judges go, well, what about this? And the public mm-hmm. goes, well, what about this? And so I wrote these sheets that said, the show is looking for this, 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 and this.
Sundays. Yes.
We encourage variety in this, this, and this ways, but we are rigid in this, and this ways for this category. And then we made those public so the competitors could see what the judges were being told to look for. And as Excellent. Far as I'm concerned, if that doesn't bridge the gap, nothing will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it was popular, I'm happy to do it again.
Yeah, it was really neat.
Good. Okay. Because, yeah.
Unhelpful.
Because, I mean, well, because, yeah, there was the year before. I remember you telling me about the pins. Something had pins stuck in it. Didn't you have to
remember?
Didn't you have to remove pins from someone's cake?
Oh, I think yes, pins. Yes.
Yeah.
We did. Yeah, we did from a cookie.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Like so you get these situations where you wouldn't have thought anyone would do that.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So you're
exactly.
like
I mean, and the cookie was just amazingly well done.
Yeah.
It was pristine, but it had pins on it.
Right. And so we didn't have a rule that said, mm-hmm. well, you can't have pins in a cookie. Because why would we think to write that?
Yeah.
So it technically yeah. wasn't against the rules. But there's a little bit of eye rolling. Why would you put pins?
Oh, I know. And so, this year will be something else. No worries.
Right. So what the decision came down from Austin was is that we will not disqualify.
Yeah, no.
There had been some disqualifications. And it was all sort of over the place, but it got nailed down for last year. They will not, unless something's changed for this year, there's not going to be disqualification. What there will be is effectively no marks.
Yes.
So it's not saying you're not getting judged. You're still going to get judged, but you have no hope of winning because you've done something that's not in the rules. Like you haven't followed the rules.
Exactly.
Which is personally the way I think. I think disqualification is harsh.
And
I think it's particularly because Austin does cater to beginners.
Yes.
CI, if you're going to Cake International, kind of bring it. Like it's really a pro game. So there's a little it's a little more fair for them to be a little harsher, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But Austin is more of a beginner through pro show. So
yeah, it's more like a family oriented, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, cause definitely with the kids stuff too. I mean, CI has kids and they have a beginner category, but it's not the focus. Whereas Austin's focus is everybody for cake for all for cake.
Yes.
And both are valid, but different. And so I felt like it makes sense for Austin to not disqualify, because if you've put your effort in and just done something, you've just made a really stupid mistake. And you should have read the rules, but you didn't. I feel like it's a bit of a kick to the gut to be disqualified.
And
if it discourages you from ever competing again, we lose you as an industry.
Yeah.
It's not just the you know, that we don't get an entry fee out of you next year. You might not come, and then you're not shopping with vendors and you're not taking classes.
Exactly. So we're affecting the whole show.
Right. It's a risk to the industry to discourage too many people. There's pursuit of excellence, but then there's also the reality of the economy of it.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely true.
Yeah. And Cake International can coast on being, you know, professional excellence because it gets the numbers. But the other cake shows, particularly if you get into really smaller ones, they need to be encouraging communities.
Yep.
Yeah. But, yeah, obviously I'm not coming to Austin this year, but I'll still do whatever Kyla tells me to do because I am Kyla's loyal minion.
Yeah. Well, I hope. I'm looking forward to Austin show. So.
Yes.
Just judging and working for my satin fine foot family.
Yes. I want to come hang out with you guys. So is there anything else, cakey, sugar artsy, you wanted to rant or rave or chat about?
Oh, no. I think we covered a lot. And just keep pushing yourselves and keep learning. I think the most important thing is just keep moving forward, like I've been saying the whole podcast, because I really think like it is what it brings you to doing something amazing. Do what you do because you love to do it. It is a job, yes, it's a job, but you have to love it in order to do it and to do it right.
Yeah,
and just keep moving forward.
Because you're certainly not getting paid well enough to not love it.
Exactly.
And like I say this a lot on the show, but I'm going to reiterate this too. Whatever any of you listening are doing in sugar arts, whether it's cookies for the school bake sale that are decorated or not, whether it's you're a top baker, in which case also please come on my show. you know, like even if some of the newbies want to come on, like people can come on and talk. Like that's anyone.
Yes.
Can come on. I keep saying call in with your terrible story, call in with your sob story. We'll all give you sympathy. Oh my God. And you can be anonymous. Someone right now who's having a tough time, just leave me voicemail on Messenger. Yes, I'll be able to see your name, but like, I'll take your name. Like, no, I won't tell anyone. And you can just say, I'm having the worst time. And we'll all go, you know what? We're all here for you.
Because if we've always, I mean, at some point of our lives, we've been there.
Everyone's been there. Everyone's been there. But yeah, so like whether you're selling or not, whether you're teaching or not, whether you're doing cake shows or not, like if you're a pro on the circuit, great. And if you're a hobby baker, great. Like whatever you're doing, it's awesome.
Yes.
And that's like.
And it helps everybody.
Yes. You're still bringing joy to the world. Yes. Our industry is about happy making.
Yep.
And so whatever you're doing in it is valid. And whatever you just made right now was totally awesome. And someone out there just put something on a cake and they're like, is that good? I'm answering you right now to say, yeah, it was good. It's good. Whatever. You right there who think I'm not talking to you. Yes. What you just did was awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And just keep empowering
up. Yeah. And if it wasn't awesome, pull it off and stick a flower over the hole. No one will know.
Exactly. I mean, cake decorating is the art of covering mistakes.
I've long said that's what flowers are for.
I know.
I don't even do I don't do sugar flowers. I do the FMM easiest rose cutter. That's my flower. But yes, so that's what flowers are for, is to cover where you put your finger through the fondant.
Exactly.
And so that's totally bottom ribbons are for covering when you're like me, terrible at getting a nice cut on the bottom. Why can everyone else cover? I can cover the top so smooth. I can pull out all my pleats. I have never had a perfect bottom on a fondant cake.
Really?
Every time there's some at least small tear somewhere. But you know, that's what the bottom border, you know, whether it's the the beaded thing, or if you're piping it, or
I mean, you can fix it with anything.
Yeah, you know what my favorite fix is? My favorite border, like if I'm really easy, is I've got one of these OXO herb mincers.
Okay.
It's basically four pizza wheels strapped together.
Yes.
And I just roll out the fondant and I make big long strips. Oh man, do you know how fast it is to stripe a cake when you can cut five strips at a time that are all exactly the same width? It's amazing. Oh, guys, if you don't have... I bought cheap herb mincers, too, and they're not as good. So I'm not being paid by OXO. Hey, OXO, sponsor my podcast. the OXO Good Grips herb mincer. I don't know. It's like 10... When I bought it, it was like 10 bucks on Amazon or whatever. It's probably...
Yeah, it is not that bad.
It's probably $200 now because of inflation, but... It's fine. But like, no, like that's, if I'm just doing a basic border, you roll out fondant on your mat, you cut one of those, loop it around. Oh, now your raggedy bottom border is covered. Done.
Exactly. done.
Yeah.
True.
So if what you made isn't awesome, it's fixable.
Exactly.
That's the truth. Mm-hmm. And the client won't notice anyway. Only you will. So it's okay. Yes, whatever all you out there are doing is valid, and you, Mary Carmen, are extra valid.
Oh, I love you.
You are sexy, beautiful, valid.
Oh, yes. We all are.
And I miss you.
Oh, I miss you too.
I know. I know.
I will need to go to Cake International again.
I need a teleporter.
I know, me too. Just create one. Invent one.
Oh, yeah, that'll...
Just call the Big Bang Theory guys and tell them.
Let me go wake up Peo. She's the one who wants to be a theoretical physicist. I'll go wake up my 13-year-old. Hey!
Yes, go!
Hey, lazy bones! Come on, get up and invent your mother a teleporter.
Exactly.
Come on,
get out of bed. And what are you losing time for?
That's right. Okay, we've hit punch drunk. It's almost midnight for me. I don't know what your excuse is.
Yeah, I know. And my boss is not going to be happy that I'm here. Just laughing and talking.
I'm sorry. I mean, I'd like to book a cruise.
Exactly. Oh.
I get motion sick looking at boats.
You know what? I've never been into a cruise ship, so I'll tell you all about it if I can get to go.
Okay. Leave me messenger voicemail about that nice from your cruise.
Yes.
Yes.
I will.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for coming on. And we will see if anyone enters. We'll see if anyone enters our lovely contest.
Of course. I mean, it's going to be pouring people all over it.
I wish I had the hope that you do, but I'm just so jaded.
Just think positive.
No. I'm a pessimist.
Like, no.
I'm a pessimist, and that's why I'm rarely disappointed.
Yeah. No. Okay. It is going to turn out amazing.
Yes. Okay. You be the optimist, I'll be the pessimist.
Okay.
We will see.
Now, for a change, I'll be the optimist.
You're so sparkly happy. You must be an optimist.
You never know.
I am a cranky old lady. Like, I'm just miserable, cranky, angry all the time. If I didn't have the nice outlet of cake, I think I'd have to be an axe murderer. I'd be like, okay, definitely punch drunk. All right, you go sell some cruise work. I'm gonna go to bed, and
all right.
I will see you somewhere soon.
Yes, we will.
And until then, you just have to have all these virtual hugs.
Yes, virtual hugs.
Yes, because I miss you. All right.
I miss you too.
All right. Well, thanks so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Behave, and kisses to your kids.
Behave? That wasn't in the contract.
Okay, don't behave then.
No. All right.
All right.
Bye.
So as we mentioned, that was recorded nearly a month ago, and a lot has gone down in many countries since. Here in the UK, we still don't know what's going to happen with Brexit, but we do know a lot of people who have come to CI every year for many years have suddenly had their visas rejected over the last month or so. I know of at least 3 people who had hotels and classes booked, and at least 1 who had a Cake Masters award ticket paid for, all who unexpectedly had visas rejected and are now scrambling to try to recoup what money they can. And in fact, right now, this minute, as I'm recording this on October 16th, so I can put the podcast out tomorrow on the 17th, the news is coming in all over the place saying there'll be a Brexit deal. No, there'll be an extension. No, wait, a deal. No, wait, there's an extension. And of course, if there is an extension, we'll be doing the same dance of uncertainty sometime in 2020. Meanwhile, in the last week alone, I've shared 2 stories on Facebook about artists who had visas to enter the US being rejected at their point of entry and turned around and sent back home. Plus, there have been more stories like that in recent months. Just the other day, there was a dance troupe from Barcelona who had all of their paperwork in order, and they got detained at the airport when they landed in the US, questioned, humiliated, and put back on a plane to Spain. So if you're planning to travel from abroad to attend cake shows in the UK or the US anytime soon, you really need to not only have everything in order, but have a backup plan in case you're unexpectedly rejected. If you're teaching at a US cake show, you need a backup plan for what happens if they stop you at the airport and send you back home. If you're a vendor coming into the UK, you need to have a backup plan for what happens if your stuff gets held up in a Brexit miasma on November 1st. If you're booking hotels in these countries, make sure you're not booking non-refundable rooms. This nonsense is really starting to impact our industry hard, and I fear it's only going to get worse before it gets better. So everyone, stay smart, stay safe, and support each other however we can. This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links, as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cakeformation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.
I mean, you need to keep moving forward.